Fred Film Radio.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio. This is Bénédicte Pro. I'm at the La Roche-sur-Yon International Film Festival today with Adina Pintillier, the winner of the Golden Bear this year in Berlin. And she's presenting also international competition here, a beautiful film, Touch Me Not. Hello, Adina.
Hi.
I was really happy about that Golden Bear, actually, because I think that this film is a really new proposal in that it's in the way it mixes fiction and documentary and reality, and in the way the filmmaker and the camera itself becomes part of the film. So I imagine that it took some time to develop. How did it develop to take this final shape?
Wow, like, if you only have 10 minutes, it might be quite a challenge, you know, to, it was a whole process. It was a long process, several years. And we struggled, like, with these two challenges that the film is proposing. So one challenge is, of course, the topic, like intimacy, our sexuality, our body are so important parts of our lives, but it's so difficult to talk about. It's so difficult to face and to explore. So this was one side. On the other side, there was this challenge of the language, of finding the right cinematic language that could accurately share this kind of research that the film was with the viewer. Mm-hmm. Because the film from the very beginning was conceived as a conversation, as a dialogue with the viewer, inviting the viewer to challenge like his or her ideas about intimacy, about body, about how we relate to each other. So this whole concept of dialogue was there. It was also that's why the fourth wall, it's always fluid, you know, because the film was conceived as a sort of a mix between these moments when you watch the explorations of the protagonists, and also moments when they start to talk to you directly. They share their experiences, their feelings with you directly. So this is why we used this device called teleprompter, which is used by Errol Morris in a documentary for many years. It's used by television on a daily basis. It's not like our invention, but it's technical apparatus which has the let's say emotional quality that it allows, like, the protagonist, when they talk to me, they would see me in the lens. So by this, they enter into a dialogue with me, so implicitly they enter into a dialogue, into direct dialogue with the viewer. So this was the purpose of this, let's say, technical dispositif, if you want. But it was not planned from the beginning that the whole apparatus and the filmmaking process, it's part of the film. This came on the way, and it's very interesting to notice in the beginning when we put together, like, by the initial concept, moments of exploration and moments of dialogue with the audience. Those moments of dialogue had the completely opposite effect of what I intended, because they had this Brechtian distancing effect. They would take you out of the, let's say, journey where you would comfortably settle in together with the characters. So it took me a long time to understand why this kind of phenomenon happens. And I realized it's very much about this fact that the way we read cinema, it's deeply ingrained in our brains. So when we go to cinema, we separate from our body and we go into that bubble of story on screen. So there is a separation between my body as a viewer and the body of cinema, let's say. Mm-hmm. Or for me, it was very important that this separation that doesn't exist, and that all the time you are in a permanent connection, emotional connection with the body of the film. So this is basically why it became organically necessary that the camera, it's there, present, and you know from the very, very beginning that you watch a film. So there's no place to hide. You are in a film which is offering you, through the camera, a very privileged access to the life of these people who also want to share with you. They enter into this conversation with you. So then the next challenge came in terms of finding the language, because, you know, I didn't feel in the beginning that, I mean, it was never a priority. The filmmaker and the camera was never a priority. the priority was on discovering this world and these people, and in the dialogue that you engage with, in with them. But just by just having the camera and the device and the filmmaker, without involvement, without knowing the emotional motivation which is behind this whole process that you are witnessing, it doesn't work either, you know, because immediately you can put a label of like distance, narcissism, artificial construction on this meta-cinema level. Whereas it was not at all the case, because I was personally in the same emotional exchange like all the other protagonists were. I was on the same battleground with them, in the same discomfort, in the same joy of discovery. I was going through the same process. So it became unavoidably necessary to share also part of my process in the film. It's basically why it's important to know why, what is the emotional motivation, why am I there in their bedroom, why we are there in their bedroom. So this is how we ended up by having not only the presence of the camera and the apparatus, but also the whole trigger, emotional engine of the whole process. And it was important to know all the time, being able to create a dialogue, it was important to know where you are, that you are witnessing a research, that you are actually invited into. This is the interesting part of this conversation for us, is that it's not only about our research, it's also an invitation to the viewer to be part of this personal self-exploration.
Yes. So I have been thinking about this. I mean, I'm of course a critic, so of course I want participation. I want to participate, and I think that right now the cinema is trying to compensate a certain form of participation the way it used to be, maybe more with the mind, by involving the body. That's why they talk about immersive, etc. And I'm not necessarily for it, but I thought it was really interesting because it was completely modern the way you made new type of engagement which involves a certain risk taking also from the viewer. I mean, it is a challenging film for the viewer. How did you I mean, of course, in Berlin it was received very well. I mean,
it was mixed. I mean, luckily it was received very warmly by the Berlinale programming team and by the whole Berlinale team, and also the awards that the two juries gave us were a very important support. But in terms of reception, it was mixed. You know, and I can understand this, like Shanilov says at one point in the film, all emotions welcome. There are all kinds of emotions that this film is triggering. And it's very interesting to see that they are different from person. They are very subjective. And I think this is happening because through this dialogue, the film becomes a sort of a mirror for the viewer. You start to see there and to feel things that you might not be comfortable with, or that you might not have known about yourselves. And this is, it's unavoidable that it becomes uncomfortable. But I think that in spite or together with the discomfort, this whole self-reflective process that the film is proposing can be very interesting on a personal level also.
I have been thinking about it a lot, actually, since I saw the film back in February. People are currently trying to reestablish contact, and the screen has now become a meaning of breaking the contact. And now, you know, it's about finding your inner chakra, lots of yoga and things like this, which people are looking for. So it's even the theme, even the type of work that is required is something that people, I think, are really looking for in some way.
I think we live in a time where there is like more and more, I mean, fortunately, like many people, at least from the people that I know, colleagues, friends, they go through this process of self-interrogation. There is a need to just go back to yourself and to reflect and to, you know, to work on yourself, to develop. I think it's maybe not only a characteristics of our time of history, but I think it's a very strong, let's say, movement, an inner movement of our society nowadays. And it might come as a sort of a counter reaction, and a sort of a self-defensive reaction, self-protective reactions against this surge of aggressivity, of intolerance, and of right-wing ideology and fear of the other. So I think somehow I have a deep trust in humanity and in the human nature, that there will always be like, that we will find our balance, you know? I don't think I'm somehow, I know I'm worried about what's happening in terms of how we treat the so-called other in our society and how we relate with each other. I am worried, but at the same time, I have a lot of hope because I see like human being really reacting to that, you know, reacting and questioning themselves and their relationship with the other, like many people are becoming politically involved nowadays in the core sense of politics, because politics at the core, it's about how we relate to each other. It's not about ideologies, it's not about constructs, it's about the concrete way we relate to each other. And I think this is why a film like Touch Me Not might be maybe necessary or helpful in a way today, you know, because it's proposing you, it's specifically in a world where there is so much aggressivity and fear and you know, fictional fear, because there's no much. I saw today a sort of a post by a psychotherapist that it's a common friend of our protagonist, and a French therapist who was making a post about this, making a comparison between the victims, the number of victims, and the number of crimes because of terrorism versus the number of crimes recently because of family violence. And the number of the number of victims of family violence is much higher, you know, like this whole fear of like refugees and the so-called imagined refugee crisis and of course these are facts, it's a difficulty that we are confronted with, but this is not the danger we are faced with. The real danger comes on from forgetting that the other next to you, it's a human being like you. I think it's very important that we remember this, that the other is another me.
And in fact, yes, because we talked about the way it affects people inside their own flesh, but of course it is in relation to the other. And in fact, they always say, work on yourself. You cannot be available to the other unless you do this work.
And you
found some characters who obviously are in more drastic situations of a loss of contact with themselves and the others. How did you find those characters? Were they there from the beginning? Did it start with them, or did you discover them?
I don't look at them as people who are in a drastic blockage or so. I look at them at people who are really powerhouses, you know. They are people who have this ability to look inside and to break these forms, different forms of inner prisons. I look at them in a very like let's say constructive or energetic way. I don't see them as victims at all. And I see, like, for example, there are people in the film. What was very interesting about the film is that because we also unavoidably question this idea of norm, of rules, of what we've been taught in our family, in society, in education, that beauty is, that relationship is, that we have all kinds of fictions or normative ideas. And I realized when working with reality, with real people, with real material of human beings around us, reality is so much more complex than our normative fictions. I keep saying this, like, normative fictions, because I think a norm, it has a fictional dimension, in my opinion, or at least it's very limited, you know. Reality can be so different, bodies can be so different, and still so beautiful. I mean, look at a body like Christian's body or Hannah's. They are so different than the so-called Greek idea of beauty, but they are such so fascinating human beings, and they have, like Christian, it's one of the persons who has a much more harmonious relationship with his own body than many of us, people have nowadays, you know. And Hannah, for example, who went through this whole search for identity, being a transgender person, like she also developed this like fascinating connection with her own body, which has she has a whole mythology of her body. There are stories connected to the bodies. The breasts have names, they are personified, you know, they are sisters. It's this whole very endearing approach to your own body, and implicitly, if you approach your own personality and your own, if you go through this self-reflective process, you will also look to the other with more acceptance, with a different perspective. So you will be able to do this empathic exercise and to really, you know, remind yourself and understand that the other, it's another human being, even if it's very different than you.
Do you still follow them? Do you plan on following up with this theme?
Yeah, this is Touch Me Not. It's just a part from a more complex research project. Oh, you know, I'm working with a group of people like very gifted and very brave. As I keep saying, you know, I was really privileged to find them. And I didn't find them through a regular casting. It was not about choosing or doing a casting. It was searching for like-minded people that would like to join me in the process. And it was also about feeling they have a very strong emotional motivation and need to share, to enter into this dialogue with the viewer. Because it's not only about us doing a individual closed research, it's about this aspect of conversation and dialogue. And I am working with them on long term. And now, for example, during the distribution life of the film, we are doing our best to travel with this open debate format, which is called Touch Me Not, The Politics of the Body, which is offering a chance to the protagonist, the key protagonist of the film, to enter into a direct conversation with a viewer beyond the cinema space. So we really do our best. We manage to bring it for the Romanian premiere at Transylvania Film Festival, for Carlo Vivari. We bring it to Viennale. We bring it to the UK release for ECA, for Institute of Contemporary Art. We bring it to ITFA, DOG Leipzig. We try to bring this debate because I think like the protagonists are the core of this project. Like me, I'm more in a position of, as I was telling at the Q&A, a child discovering, relearning how intimacy functions, what intimacy is. But the focus are these very special people which have personalities which go beyond cinema. Many of them are very outspoken activists for human rights. They have a very progressive discourse on the topics that the film is exploring.
But you're still doing it in the festival context, because when you said you were opening
the festival release, also in the cinematic release context, we try to bring it for the main cinema releases. Mm-hmm. The cinema releases are not, you know, unexpectedly and wonderfully, the film is going to be released in 35 countries. It's a very brave French distributor on board called Nour Films, and the film is going to go in cinemas on 31st of October. We had a sales agent who did a great job in that. Okay. Doc and Film International, Daniela Ertner. Mm-hmm. She's a soldier. The whole team managed to work miracles. So we go in 35 countries, and we have a very dedicated, national distributors, which, as you can imagine, they took risks. Mm-hmm. But I think, I hope it will be a good connection with the audience, because we see it happening already in the festival circuit. Mm-hmm. People like regular viewers who love cinema, I'm not talking about industry who sometimes can be afraid. People really welcome the film with strong emotional reactions.
That was actually the sense of my question. When I said festival context or film context, I was actually wondering if you were going to try to bring it also to schools or other spaces.
Yes, we are trying to. We are thinking about this, continuing the conversation in specific communities or circles, like, for example, the psychoanalytic circle. There are different topics that the film is investigating. Mm-hmm. So we want to have this kind of atypical, release, which is based on conversation, on debate. Mm-hmm. But of course, this requires much more work than for a normal release.
Yes.
We all do our best. It has it's like a project in itself, you know. That's why it's part of Touch Me Not. It's beyond Touch Me Not. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Tajminat, it's a multi-platform project. So apart from the film and apart from this performative debate engagement with the audience, we are going further and we are going to have several feature films and several shorter formats, and also a video installation and a performance installation, where a durational interactive performance where you will have the opportunity to meet personally and to have a session with Christian and Grit, with Hannah, with the protagonist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and this would be also the basis of a next film. It's going to be documented. That it's a complex research which will go for more years, few more years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope it touches as many people as possible, because it did touch me, and I find it very impressive, because I there's nothing like it to me. Thank you so much, Adina Pintilie, for the movie, for Touch Me Not, and for the work to come. Thank you, Adina.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.